Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman if you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public. For your next project, not retail, wholesale, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you've always thought about owning that dream car, I've got a suggestion where you should go. Rocky Mountain Eurosport in Denver and Parker. Yep, two great locations. And here's the thing about working with Rocky Mountain Eurosport. You are not working with some big dealership that is impersonal, that's trying to sell volume, and they bring somebody in and they have somebody else and somebody else. It's an intimate buying experience, because you know what? Everybody deserves a luxury car buying experience, don't you think so? Even if you don't want something luxury, that's cool. They've got foreign cars, domestic cars. They got luxury rides as well, and they've got the inventory. Unlike the big boys, they're going to get you the luxury car or the car you want at the right price. They service all makes and models. Fantastic finance options. Say hey to my guy Josh over at Rocky Mountain Eurosport today. Take a test drive or find them at rmeurosport.com. Time now for something that we like to call the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
All right, Mace, a lot of talk over the last couple of days. We talked about it more in depth yesterday, but then we talked about it just briefly on Monday about that conversation Von Miller had with Teddy Bridgewater. And he was talking to Teddy about his pregame speech, and he basically said it hasn't made him feel this good about the Broncos since Manning was the quarterback. Now, here's the funny thing. Von meant that comment for Teddy's ears only, but
he forgot that he was mic'd up.
You know, I kind of forgot that I was mic'd up. I don't like putting stuff out there. That was a moment for me and Teddy. But, you know, it's out there, and, you know, I don't want anybody to, you know, feel a certain way because I told Teddy that. But I told Teddy the truth. You know, I told Teddy the truth. He definitely has this vibe about him that guys, you know, want to play for. You know, guys believe in Teddy. You know, he's been a veteran in this league. He sat behind Drew Brees. You know, he was on track to win MVP with the Minnesota Vikings. So he knows how to do it. And he carries himself in a way that, you know, people want to play for him, people believe in him. You know, it was a fourth down in the game where he kind of like stuttered and stiff-armed the guy and threw it to Albert O. And, you know, that's just heart, and that's just nobody can draw that up. There's no coach on our coaching staff or in the NFL that could teach you how to do that.
Couple of things. First of all, what he said at the end about the fourth down play. I kind of asked Pat Shurmur about that. Is it kind of feel? Is it something coachable? And he basically said it's basically innate, kind of the ability to do that. So it says a lot about Teddy Bridgewater doing something that probably no amount of coaching can get into him or any quarterback. But the other thing is, I think Vaughn, not realizing he was mic'd, he said, hey, I'm being truthful. And I always want to share the truth. But I think it also maybe there's a little bit of regret about it getting out there because of he probably thinks about how the other quarterbacks that have come since have felt. That he probably felt, hey, to some degree, how does Drew Locke feel about this? Vaughn, how does Trevor Siemian feel? How does Joe Flacco feel?
Whether you like Carmelo Anthony or not, and you probably think, why am I bringing up Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony and Von Miller have one very similar personality trait. They are both pleasers.
Bingo.
They both want to be liked. They both want to say the right things. And, you know, we have, you know, for lack of a better phrase, I don't want to use the word criticized, but we have questioned Vaughn's sincerity when he gets up there and says, well, gee, that Trevor Siemian, he does some of the things that remind me of when Peyton Manning played.
Or when he last week he said this was the best offensive line that he'd seen in his time with the Broncos.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hyperbole there. But here's the thing. And this is why you know it was truthful coming out of Von Miller's mouth. He was mic'd up, but I'm guessing he forgot that he was mic'd up.
Yes.
Unless,
it was the fourth quarter. So by that point, you're conscious of the mic early, like in warmups, right after they put it on your pads and they test it, you put on your pads and they always kind of test it out, say, hey, Vaughn, hey, can we hear you? Can we hear you? Oh, we're good. All right. And then whoever has the camera just starts rolling on that player for the entire game. So they're always conscious of it early and then less conscious of it late.
I'll tell you what we need to find out. Do you still have contacts with the Carolina Panthers organization? Meaning either people inside the organization or media members there?
A couple, yeah. Why?
Well, this is what we need to find out. Was Teddy Bridgewater like this last year in Carolina? Was he the bee's knees? Did his teammates just love him? Were they ready to run through a wall for him? Did he give pregame speeches? Was he actually like that? You knew he wasn't like that in New Orleans because he wasn't the guy. We knew that. Because Drew Brees was the guy. And Drew Brees is so highly thought of, not only inside the organization, but outside of the organization throughout the entire state of Louisiana. As for the state of Minnesota, he was young. He didn't really play long enough. He got hurt, and he probably wasn't mature enough to be that type of leader back then like he is now. But I'd be curious to know what kind of leader he was, what kind of guy he was. Was he as revered down there less than a year ago than he is here?
It's a good question, but now I quickly kind of looked up Panthers Bridgewater leader. I wanted to see if there was anything I could find really quickly.
Nice keywords.
Thank you. Here's a quote from Matt Rhule, Panthers head coach, 11 months ago. Quote, "It's one of the smartest quarterbacks, smartest football people I've ever been around. I had the good fortune to be around Eli Manning, and Teddy reminds me so much of Eli in terms of the way that he studies the game, plays the mental game, understands the game, understands the protection game. He's such a cerebral, intelligent football guy, and it makes everyone around us better. It's not the leadership thing, but it's kind of a intelligence making everybody else better."
Right.
This was in October, and for the first...
Different coming from a coach.
It is different coming from a coach, and I'm sure I can go and find some player comments.
Please
as well.
Do.
Because... Yeah. You know what? You wonder what the narrative would have been on Bridgewater if he had played better down the stretch. Because when he got hurt, the Panthers, I believe, were 4-6. He had, I think, 13 touchdown passes, 3 touchdown runs, 7 interceptions. He was, I believe, middle of the pack in terms of passer rating. He came back after the MCL. 2 touchdowns, 4 picks. He wasn't the same guy.
Something's amiss to me. I'll tell you why.
I think something happened toward the end of the season.
Yes.
But was it beyond the injury, or was it just the injury trying to play through it and the performance decline?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't seem like the type of guy who will stir the pot.
Right.
And if a coach is going to say that, a head coach specifically, is going to say that about his quarterback, every single coach wants a quarterback like that, right? Yeah. So you do have to wonder what went wrong and who did it go wrong with. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Matt Rhule was part of the decision-making process on not bringing back Teddy Bridgewater.
And he was part of the decision-making process to bring him to begin with. Another quote, same story here. This is from, again, last October. From Matt Rhule, "Teddy's running the show, making sure we're in the right play, right protection. We motion, we shift, we check plays. We do all these things and not everyone does, and we do them because we have a quarterback who allows us to do them," unquote. And then you're at player quote. Taylor Moton, offensive tackle, quote, "It's the way he manages the game, making sure we're all in sync and making sure we all have the right energy, making sure we're all locked in to the task at hand. It's difficult to explain. You've just got to be in the huddle with him, I guess."
Unquote. I got to tell you something. It's as if we have put together a puzzle and we're missing two pieces right in the middle of the puzzle. What is missing here? How do you go from this type of praise in October to get the hell out of here after the season ends. Because at the end of the day, while he wasn't great in Carolina, he wasn't so bad in his first year that you're dying to run him out of town for Sam Darnold and pay $7 million of his salary to play for somebody else. Something is missing in this story. This is like a Dateline NBC. What is missing? How did we get from here to there within a matter of 2 to 2.5 months?
I mean, if... because let's say the Broncos had a quarterback who had a 92.1 passer rating last year, which, by the way, they haven't had in 7 years. You got to go back to Peyton Manning in 2014. If you had a quarterback with the numbers Bridgewater put up, even though the touchdown total of 15 ended up being modest, they probably would have brought that guy back unquestioned for the following season.
I mean, wouldn't
so
you
what,
think?
So what happened? Now I'll tell you. When this story came out, the Carolina Panthers were 3-2. They had just won 3 consecutive games over the Chargers, Cardinals, and Falcons. They would then lose, at least in terms of Bridgewater starts, because he missed the game they won. They lost the next 8 games that Bridgewater started. And did they put too much of the blame on him?
Well, this is how I...
That's the question I have.
Listen, a lot of the blame goes on the quarterback, rightly or wrongly.
Right.
A lot of the praise goes on the quarterback for the same reasons. But I will say this. If you feel that strongly about a quarterback's IQ, if you feel that strongly about him in the huddle and the way he leads, and you know you're getting back Christian McCaffrey, wouldn't you want to give it... one more turn on the bull at the rodeo?
You might, but at the same time...
they went with Sam Darnold and ate $7 million for him to go someplace else.
There are a couple of things that can come into play. Number one other thing that did change is the general manager. Marty Herney got fired toward the end of last year, so they have a new general manager in charge with the Panthers. That's I think, one thing to consider. And another thing, and we're going to get into something similar here on the other side. In Matt Rhule, even though he'd coached a year on the Giants staff earlier in his career, he was still a college coach making the transition to the NFL. And sometimes that can be problematic. Maybe that college coach making the transition was looking for different things and the wrong things as time went on.
Very nice segue into Draymond Jones, who met the media today and talked about his former college head coach, Urban Meyer at Ohio State. And Urban sounds like a jerk, according to Draymond Jones, not at the press conference today, but something he said in a press conference, or in a podcast, I should say, earlier this year. I'm sorry, it sounded like Draymond dogged him. Didn't that sound that way to you?
Oh, yes.
He dogged him.
To say the least.
That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about my friend Dan McKenzie at McKenzie Law. I procrastinated for a long time putting together my estate plan and my living will, and once we started the process, I could not get it done fast enough because I'm thinking, you know what? You have no options when you're dead, so you better get it done now. And working with Dan, he made it so easy, answered all my questions. He was patient, and I felt so good when the whole thing was over. Not to mention, you know, getting that living will done is so important too, because listen, I don't want to live in a vegetative state and I want to make that decision. I don't want to have some doctor I've never met make that decision for me. I want my loved ones to make it for me executing the wishes that I want. You don't have to have a ton of money to get an estate plan, a will, a living will. You just want to protect yourself. Go to the McKenzieFirm.com. That's the McKenzieFirm.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by the Tivoli Brewing Tap House on the Auraria campus, where every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all day, all Tivoli beers are just $2. Tivoli is Colorado's original brewery. If you're not first, you're last.
Okay, so Draymond Jones was asked to practice today about his former Ohio State head coach, Urban Meyer, who, of course, is currently the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jones said at the press conference today, didn't want to talk about Meyer, but also said wasn't surprised that Meyer isn't connecting with his players. Earlier this year, he was asked about Urban Meyer by Shelby Harris on Shelby's podcast. And this is what Draymond Jones had to say about Urban Meyer.
Okay, so that's my thing. Explain to us what type of coach, you know, Urban Meyer is. Because for me, I've never met the guy. I don't know. Like, explain it like to somebody that's never met Urban Meyer or doesn't know Urban Meyer. What type of football coach is Urban Meyer? And also, off of that, you know, what type of coach, you know, do you think his coaching style, you know, will he have to change it a little bit in the pros? And how do you think he's going to be as, a, like, you know, an NFL coach?
I'm just answering that question. NFL coach-wise, he going to have to shake things up to how he was doing. He can't do. So when how he coached us was, he didn't really f*** with you if you weren't like a player. If you weren't playing, you know, so those conversations didn't exist. Like, I was a four-star recruit. This man was out here hyping my head up to, bro, I don't even know you. Like, we walked past in the hallway. I'm saying, how you doing, coach? This man looked at me like I was crazy for speaking to him and just keep walking. Like, this man, he shows zero respect. Zero respect. And I'm like, this type of dude you are? Like, this crap. I'm like, all right. So, as things go on, I'm starting to learn more. Like, this man to talk to, every time he talked to you, it felt like he was his first time talking to you. Like, it's like he didn't remember having a conversation with you. Or, like, I'll give you a scenario. I'll give you an example. So, I'm like this. Hey, Shelby, how you doing? You would say good, right? He'll try to explain more to it. He'll cut you off and just walk away like you didn't exist. Like, I hated that shit. He was like, how you doing, Joe? How's your family? I'm like, it's good, all that. And as I'm saying, it's good, all that, he'll turn around, walk down the hall, like we weren't having a conversation. I'm like, dang, man, let me finish, bro.
What if things weren't good, right?
It didn't matter. It wasn't like he was going to remember anyway. It wasn't like he was going to remember. He ain't going to be like, later, hey, man, I want to check up on you and see how your family's doing. And that shit wasn't happening.
I don't know Urban Meyer at all, but I will say this. I was told by a Broncos player who is still on the team about the way Vic Fangio was in his first season. Mm-hmm. Vic Fangio was not a personable guy. And what I mean by that is this player said to me, I played for Vic Fangio all season, and I don't think he even knew that I had kids. Maybe Urban Meyer is all about football. I don't know. But from the way Draymond Jones makes him sound, he sounds like a real jerk who doesn't care about anybody but himself. I know
or,
that
or Vic- guys named Bosa or the quarterbacks, because another part of that, he's like, well, if you're a Bosa, you're a QB, he loves you.
Right.
But if you're not in that privileged group, then you're getting some
And
crap.
Real quick, I am not suggesting Vic Fangio hasn't changed. I just know what I was told during his first season, that Vic was all football all the time. I'm not so sure he is still that way now, and he's probably a lot more personable now that he has gotten comfortable.
He's evolved. He's gotten better.
Right. I couldn't even imagine playing for a guy like Urban Meyer, who probably had the chutzpah to sit in my living room and tell my parents he was going to take care of me and then walks by me if I'm not starting.
Yeah. He leans on his assistants, like a lot of the assistants in Ohio State. And Draymond has said in the past that, like, so other than Urban Meyer and Greg Schiano, who was Meyer's right-hand man for a time and has his own people person issues, that the assistants were cool. Like, Draymond speaks very highly of Larry Johnson, the father of the running back, the D-line coach. And really, that's what kind of made it go. But when you have somebody who appears to be that out of touch with the players as people, you can get away with it in college, but you are not getting away with it with grown men. And not only that, grown men who actually have, in some ways, more power than you do.
They do.
Organizationally.
College players cannot get coaches fired, but pro players can.
It's happened here.
How much does Urban Meyer get paid? You know?
I thought his contract was... It's big. Like, he's one of the highest paid coaches right. in the NFL. I want to say it's north of $6 million a year.
That $6 million? He gets paid $6 million a year? $6 million?
He was okay. Hang on, let me look it up here. Maybe more than that, because he was 7.6 at Ohio mm-hmm. State,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, this is great. This is great radio, by the way.
No, it's okay. Let's just for the sake of argument, okay? Just for the sake of argument,
he asked for $12 million a year.
What did he get?
Not that, but he did ask for $12 million a year.
So what's he roughly getting paid?
I don't know. I'm just reading the reports on here that's the last thing we saw as far as his number, that he wanted $12 million.
Right.
He's well compensated. Now, here to bring up Matt Rhule, Panthers coach, mm-hmm. for a second time in this show, mm-hmm. Matt Rhule got $9 million a year from Carolina to make the jump from Baylor to the Panthers.
Okay.
So I think we can assume that while Urban Meyer is not making $12 million, he's probably making more than Matt Rhule is.
Okay.
Let's say $10 million. Let's say $10 million a year.
$10 million a year,
which is insane.
Vaughn makes more than him. Glasgow makes more than him. Kyle Fuller's in that category.
Ronald Darby's right there at $10 million.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And these are grown men you're effing with, Urban. Yeah. Because they will not take your garbage. See, when you're a college coach, you put the fear in God into these kids. You think for a minute you're going to be putting the fear of God into a guy like Derek Wolfe?
I mean, and again,
he will bow up on you.
These are not kids. These are men. These are men who have a lot of cases, either whether it's they're married or they've right. got a long-term girlfriend, fiance. These are men who have kids as well.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, hey, when you're a dad, sometimes little extra maturity kicks in and unwillingness to take crap from other people kicks in.
When you like your coach and you respect your coach, you're willing, you know, metaphorically speaking, you'll run through a wall for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll always do the best that you can because you always want another contract. I'm not suggesting a guy, if he doesn't like a coach, won't work as hard as he can, because that's not what I'm suggesting. But if you like your coach and you respect him, you'll give that little bit extra and you'll listen a little bit more. The best example I can give is a very successful college coach, arguably the most successful college coach to ever go to the pros, who just went into the Hall of Fame, Jimmy Johnson, and Troy Aikman, and Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin, and the rest of that lot loved him, loved playing for him, and he was tough on them, loved it, and wanted to get to know the guys, and wanted to be personable. That's not Urban Meyer.
See, Urban Meyer, he's just distant and not personable. With Jimmy Johnson, yeah, he's tough, but I can guarantee you Jimmy Johnson knew every family situation for every player on his team. He knew which guys had kids, which guys were married, right. which guys were single, what was going on. He knew all of that, and he knew that sometimes the conversation cannot be about football. It's about, hey, how, you know, your wife had a baby 6 months ago. How's that coming? You getting enough sleep? That kind of thing.
And
those are the coaches that guys will run through a wall for. They care about them as people.
My point is this. When Jimmy Johnson, I believe, believes wins one game his first season on the job, he built enough of a rapport. He put enough equity in the bank with a lot of his players where they would still listen to him after a one-win season. If the Jaguars win a single game this season, I don't know how much equity in the bank Urban Meyer is going to have because his players don't like him.
And you have an owner in Shahid Khan who, if he sees it going sideways with $8.4 billion of net worth,
yeah,
he'll eat the loss.
No question. Coming up after the break, Broncos are injured so much last season, you're thinking, man, could it get any worse? And then you start thinking, well, the law of averages, right? Law of averages. Eventually, it has to equal out. Well, has it equaled out this year? Wait till you see the list of guys who are not going to be playing against the Broncos this season, because this is becoming a very impressive list that the Broncos don't have to play against. That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew. There's too much confusion.
I can't get no relief. Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
Listen, all teams get injured in the NFL. Sometimes it's, you know, one team is worse than another team. I don't know what the Broncos record is for man games lost due to injury, but last year they got absolutely cannibalized, as bad as I've ever seen them. I'm guessing if anybody knows these numbers, it's probably you.
Not off the top of my head.
I can't believe that.
It was bad.
Well, it was. Let's just put it this way. It was terrible where they were down to, I think, like their 15th corner on the depth chart. That's how bad it was. That was an over-exaggeration. I meant 21st on the depth chart.
I do know one way that to look at it. It's from Football Outsiders. Last year, including COVID absences, like, for example, Shelby Harris having COVID in November, the Broncos, in terms of number of games lost, believe it or not, they were only seventh worst in the NFL.
Well, but I'm not including COVID. I'm not going to include. I'm talking flat out injuries, not COVID, because that skews it.
With the Broncos, without COVID, they were ninth worst. Well, there were eight teams that were worse than
them. Well, it seemed to me they were banged up a lot, didn't it?
It did.
Okay, with that, maybe the law of averages is helping them a little bit, okay? Because I felt like they just seemed to be injury-riddled at so many big positions, didn't they?
Yeah, well, it looks worse when you have the injuries clustered at certain spots. For example,
cornerback.
Yeah, corner. Now, they were fine at running back for the most part. Melvin, a few minor injuries, but safety, they were healthy the entire year. Inside linebacker, they were healthy the entire year, but they got smashed at corner. Pardon me, they took a hit at wide receiver.
Right. Okay, so let's see if the law of averages could be balancing out. The Giants, we know they were banged up on offense. We know what's going on with Urban Meyer, where now he's being mentioned for the USC job. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Broncos won't have to face Jets offensive tackle Mekhi Becton next week. They barely faced him last year.
Yeah.
But they won't face him this time around. Then in week 8, they won't have to face Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Washington football team's starting quarterback.
You skipped the Ravens, too. You don't have to face any of their running backs. You don't have to face Marcus Peters in week 4.
I did forget to put them in there, but yes, they're decimated already.
Yes.
Right? And then the Cowboys just lost to Marcus Lawrence, terrific defensive end, because of a foot injury. Now, you look at all those guys, and you can make the case this is a huge advantage for the Broncos. But somebody would argue back at me and say, wait a minute. We don't know if Chubb's even playing this week. And Judy's out. And Darby's out. You know what my answer back to them is? Seriously?
Tough.
What's that?
Tough?
No.
What?
No. Who's Washington's backup quarterback? Because the Broncos happen to have depth at all three of those positions. You can put in Malik Reed. You can put in Tim Patrick. You have depth at pass receiving, and you have depth at cornerback. I don't know if the Cowboys can truly replace with depth DeMarcus Lawrence. I know the Jets can't replace Mekhi Becton.
Yeah.
We see the problems already with the Ravens. The Broncos have depth where they have injuries. Fortunately,
it's helpful. But that being said, you don't want to test it any further. Like at corner, for example, you've used the depth because
yes, well, it's one guy.
Sertan moves up,
one guy,
and you don't get Michael Ojemudia back for at least another couple of games, and you don't get Isang Basti back until October off the PUP list potentially. So the Broncos are right now, they are literally down three of their top six.
They're living on the edge.
They are. They are one injury at corner away from being in serious trouble.
And you know what? But you know what? That's in better shape than a lot of other teams.
Yes.
Look at the running back position for them. You could say, wow, look at the depth they have. Well, Mike Boone isn't playing yet. What if Melvin Gordon gets hurt or Javonte Williams gets hurt? Well, who do you have coming up? That kid from the Ravens?
Nate McCrary.
Because Boone isn't ready to go yet.
He's another week away at least.
But let's look at this team 2, 3, 4 years ago when they didn't have any of this depth. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the teams that they are playing, Cowboys aren't going to be able to place DeMarcus Lawrence. Are they?
No, I mean,
who do they got?
When you're talking about somebody who's a Pro Bowler, there comes a point where even if you have depth, you can't replace a guy. Right. And DeMarcus Lawrence is at that level. Right. Marcus Peters for the Ravens is at that level.
No question.
Can't replace him.
Right.
The funny thing like with the Ravens is, if they'd lost one running back, they would have been fine.
You know, by the
Gus Edwards would have been fine.
Okay, I tell you what. Is anyone willing to give me odds on what I'm about to say? That Ben Roethlisberger is going to miss the Broncos game again, when they play Pittsburgh. I got a feeling that he's going to somehow get injured or have a nagging injury where 5 weeks in a row, the Broncos are going to catch a break.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, why not?
The thing with Ben Roethlisberger is, though, is this. They won Sunday, but he didn't play well. The Steelers, I'm getting...
Their defense is terrific.
I'm getting 2015 Bronco vibes from the Steelers.
Right. Well, maybe Devin Bush will get hurt.
Right. An old quarterback who's hanging on.
Right.
But they've got good receivers, and they've got a defense that might be the best in football.
Yeah. Well, okay, so who do you want to be injured? Let's put the kibosh mojo on
there. I'll tell you what, if you were trying to take a player
Chase Claypool, Najee Harris,
TJ Watt.
Oh yeah, let's get him out of there.
If you're trying to think of who there are two alphas on.
We're gonna put a spell. Yeah,
there are two alphas on Pittsburgh now: TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick.
Okay,
those are the guys that are irreplaceable.
Okay, you heard it here first. Something is going to happen to TJ Watt in the next 3 weeks.
I hope not. I like TJ Watt.
Do you want him to play against the Broncos?
I don't root for injuries.
I didn't say you did. Do you want him to play?
Yes.
You do?
Because I like to see teams at full strength. I don't, because saying that I don't want him to play against the Broncos means that I'm saying that I want something bad to happen to him. I don't want something bad to happen to him. I don't want something bad to happen to Fitzpatrick. I don't want something bad to happen to Chase Claypool or Najee Harris.
What if he gets COVID, but he's fine?
I mean, that's still bad. I mean, no one really wants that.
What if his wife's delivering a baby and he can't show up on game day? You good with that?
I'm good with that. Because that's a wonderful event.
There you go. What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
SB Nation had 6 burning questions entering week 2 of the NFL. We'll take a look at a couple of those questions that have a little bit of relevance here in Broncos country. That's coming up on the other side right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, not retail, but wholesale, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Refresh Snoring and Sleep Apnea Center. Eric, stop snoring and you can too. Go to refreshedsleep.com. Just in case you missed it, presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties here, but hopefully those will be in the past soon. I got the levels where I want them, so we're all good now.
You sound great, Danny.
Just in case you missed it, SB Nation's six burning questions entering week two. Two of these pretty relevant here in Broncos country. We spent a lot of the offseason talking about the quarterbacks, the ones that we do have here, the ones that we could have had here. One of their questions was, how long are the Bears going to keep trying to make Andy Dalton a thing? The other, one of the other six, is Aaron Rodgers okay? So, two-part question here. Are the Bears doing Broncos country a favor, keeping Fields on the sideline for now so that they don't have to see what could have been? And is Aaron Rodgers okay? What kind of performance do you expect from Aaron Rodgers this week against Detroit?
Dominant. I think he'll shred the Lions. Part of it is also who you're going against. Lions defensively did not offer much resistance to the 49ers last weekend. And I think that's going to let Aaron Rodgers get back on track. I got to give you credit for pointing this out. You talked about the unkempt nature of his facial hair last Sunday. And then you noted, hey, between Sunday and Wednesday, he shaved.
Yep.
I think it's a sign that it's like, okay.
I need to take this seriously.
Get your stuff together, Aaron. Yep. You're not the host of Jeopardy yet.
But he embarrassed himself.
Yeah. And he doesn't like to embarrass himself.
Right. So I think he has enough pride. And listen, you saw him all summer and he looked like a homeless guy. He just did. There's nothing wrong with having a beard, but when it looks unkept, that's different. Just the body language wasn't very good.
Language has always been iffy.
I understand.
When things are going bad, especially, there's that gif of him
like
tossing the tablet a few
He looked like a slob. I'll just come out and say he looked like an absolute slob. And he shaved. And usually when you look like a slob and you dress like a slob, that's probably how you feel emotionally. Is that fair to say?
What does that say for Bill Belichick then?
I'm not talking about Bill Belichick.
I know, but you're saying usually if you dress like that, then you are, but...
There's an exception to every rule.
Bill Belichick doesn't dress like a slob. He just wears hoodies.
He cuts them off in a jagged fashion.
Well, that's his style. That's kind of like saying to teenage girls in high school who literally go out of their way to buy blue jeans that have huge holes in them that they're slobs. No, that's the fashion. And for Bill Belichick, that is the fashion that he has developed for himself. That's what he feels comfortable with.
But he still looks like a slob when he does it.
Well, that's fine, but we can go back and forth about that. As for Justin Fields, I think they're afraid to put him out there because the team isn't very good and they don't want to get him hurt. But the chorus will start to get louder and louder in Chicago for Justin Fields to get out there if the Bears don't win. And that would be understandable.
Just in case you missed it, Shohei Ohtani may be shut down as a pitcher for the rest of the season. He's got a sore right arm. But he told his manager, Joe Maddon, that he wants to try for his 10th win. So, with the Angels not likely making the playoffs, 10.5 games out in the American League. Would you keep Ohtani off the mound the rest of the way?
Yes.
I would.
Sore arm, and for me, it wouldn't be a question. Like, dude, you're not going out there. It's not important right now. We need you next year and the year after and the year after that. I get why he wants to go out there. He's a competitor. I mean, he had to work his way through the Japanese leagues to get a shot in the States, and he treasures that. But sometimes it is the coach / manager's job to save the player from him or herself.
Exactly how I would have said.
Really?
You do. Well, yeah, you do have to. Yeah. Sometimes you have to protect the player from himself.
Adult in
because
the room.
They, yeah, because they want to go out there, and you understand why they want to go out there, mm-hmm. but it's not the best decision. That's totally understandable.
A follow-up question on that, if he is off the mound the rest of the way, does it hurt his MVP chances at all, or does he have that pretty much locked up, even with Vlad Jr. coming up behind him pretty quick?
It shouldn't.
He's had a season that is a unicorn in the long 150-plus year history of professional baseball. It should not. If the voters of the MVP have any wisdom about them, this should not hurt his candidacy at all. He should be a slam dunk MVP.
I'll put it this way, okay? Let's for starters, where's Vlad's team in the standings right now?
Good question. They're right. They're in the wild card race.
No, 8 games out.
Well, no. The key thing is the wild card race, and right now they are tied with the Yankees, and the Red Sox are percentage points back.
Okay.
Two of the three will advance.
With that. If you vote for anyone other than Shohei Ohtani, you should literally lose your vote. Literally. They should just say, okay, you're done voting. And honestly, I think this is bigger than a guy who should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Because you know how those, you know, baseball, some of the baseball writers are, who don't dress well, don't eat well, and hold grudges. You know those guys?
Yes.
And so they decided to hold it against baseball players who happen to be better looking and more wealthier than them by a long shot. It would be more egregious to not give a guy like Tom Seaver a vote for it to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. Pedro Martinez. It'd be more egregious not to vote for Ohtani as the MVP than to not give Pedro Martinez an opportunity to go in on the first ballot. Exactly. I mean, then you just don't know your history, because Shohei Ohtani, at the very least, is the second best player to ever play this game, because as a pitcher and a hitter, he's the only. There's only one other guy who can do that.
And there are a lot of voters who value wins above replacement as a stat. If you take his war, if you take his offensive war and his pitching war, it's 7.6. It's the highest in baseball. For those that are analytically inclined, just take that number and say, okay, he's number one. How can I vote for anybody else?
Mace, if you need stats, meaning if you
but
need...
But there are some that are so wedded to war. I'm saying if you are in that category, then there is every reason to vote for him.
If you are basing your vote on Shohei Ohtani because of war and not your actual eyes, again, you should lose your vote.
What do you care if they come to the right conclusion regardless of how they got there?
All you have to do is open your eyes and see what this guy does at the plate and on the mound, and it's an easy decision. You don't need war. You don't need an extra stat to break the tie. It's that obvious.
But it's not tied even if you look at the stats. That's the point I'm making here, is that if your eye test, my numbers test, He's number one in both. There shouldn't be
how many
an issue.
Home runs is
we're coming to the same conclusion here. I don't know
how many. By the way, how many?
Are you upset that the nerds with the calculators are taking over?
No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to something like this, you certainly hope that they would not. And I know that I need to hit a break. But how many home runs does Vlad have?
What is he? I know Ohtani's got 43. I have that in front of me. 45.
Vlad. Ohtani's at 44, actually, at least according to ESPN. So Vlad's at 45, Ohtani's at 44. And how many wins does Vlad have? Don't tell me about war. Please. It's that
wait,
obvious.
You're going, wait, what do you mean wins? Pitching wins?
How many wins does Vlad Guerrero have?
Well, there are no
wins. What's his ERA? He has the same number of home runs as Vlad Guerrero.
Give me,
he's as good in, he's as good of a hitter in some ways.
Give
not,
me,
not
give
in
me
terms
ERA
of average.
And give me whip, but don't give me pitching wins.
ERA, how's that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, what's Vlad's ERA?
Well, he doesn't pitch. He can't have an ERA.
Then he can't be in the conversation as the best player in baseball. Not with a guy who does both. That was Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it. Did you know that? That was just in case you missed it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, in case you missed it, you need to go there because you can get great deals and they can help you design an entire kitchen. You can find Mountain High Appliance in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver.
And you know they have good prices as well, so there are data-based reasons to shop at Mountain High Appliance.
There are. But sometimes you just walk in, see something, and say, this is great. Yeah. And then you read the reviews. That's all you have to do, Mace. You don't need to go. We don't need to go stat heavy on everything.
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't. No, we don't. Sometimes your eyes tell you what's going on. Okay. With that, Von Miller had a great comment to Teddy Bridgewater in the game on Sunday. Well, this has gone viral because Von didn't know he was mic'd up. What does Von have to say about that? That's next. Nice.